No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world.
Oh my god.
I'm here with my girl.
Hi. Hello, No Jumper World.
How you doing, Tana?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you? It seems like you've been going through some shit, like, and I don't understand because I don't care what anyone says about me, or at least that's what I'm telling myself.
Okay.
But
same.
You seem like you've been going through some shit.
Definitely. It's been a crazy fucking past few months. 100%. Okay. I think I've learned a lot. I think even just from the last time I sat in this chair, I've grown up like fucking 5 years. You know what I mean?
Didn't it all just seem so simple back then?
I literally think about I was thinking about that on the way here. Like the last time I was on No Jumper, just like coming on to me like, Hefner. And like that was like my biggest fucking care in the world. Like the amount of shit that I've gone through and even just the digital world has gone through since then.
The app pack was still a thing.
Yeah. Was it?
I think.
Or it had just come to a close. Something like that.
What an era.
What an era. That could have worked so well.
People don't even know.
Yeah, they really don't. Hi.
Oh, man. So.
Thank you for having me.
No, I'm happy.
Thank you for tolerating me, No Jumper World, if you even are.
You know that I love you, and you know that we have an amazing relationship. Perhaps through my girlfriend. I think it's good because we might not have got to know each other on such a friend level otherwise. Because can you imagine if I didn't have a girlfriend, how awkward it would be? We would probably hate each other because we would have had like a weird thing for a while.
I don't think we would have hated each other. I just think it brought us closer together as like friends. If you look at me as like a fucking friend, I look at you as a friend.
We were able to skip the boning part, which is like I have a lot of female friends where there was a boning process, and then we stopped doing that, and then somehow we still remain friends. But it's cool that we're able to sort of skip over that.
Wow, I kind of love that for me. I feel like that makes me a little more special.
Although you did have sex, or I had sex in front of you.
Yeah, but that was just for the culture.
For a vlog. You know?
That was I cannot stop saying for the culture. I'm, aside from everything, like your biggest fan ever. I think you're my favorite. Like, do you call yourself an influencer?
I really avoid it.
Okay, whatever you do, you're my favorite of that.
Really?
Like, you're so fucking, like, shameless. Like I want to be on the level of shamelessness that Adam 22 is, honestly.
But I see you as being of a pretty similar mindset in the sense that
you just executed so well.
No, but it's true in the sense that you are honest about the fact that you're honest when you are experimenting with drugs or when you're doing drugs, when you're partying, when you're getting drunk, you have a fucking messy ass sex life, all this stuff. You're pretty up front, and it's like the average person on the outside would probably expect you to be more concerned with keeping a clean image, but you're more concerned with keeping it real. So I think of you as sort of like a little Tana 22.
Oh my god, that made my month. I think that's the first time I've fucking laughed.
I don't know if that's my like defining characteristic, is that I'm just like brutally honest about all the fucked up shit in my life or whatever, which is doesn't seem that fucked up anymore. But
it's crazy. I feel the exact same way. I feel like I grew up watching YouTube in like an era where everyone was getting exposed for like smoking and drinking and all that like bullshit. Right. And like by the time I started, it was like, you really want to have a scandal over like that when you could just be honest about it. But I guess that also opens the air to have scandals for so many bigger and crazier things, or for people to take everything else you do so seriously.
But do you feel like your image at this point is not, you're not going to get the stuff that Liza Koshy's getting?
100%.
In the sense of that she's getting these like dope ass like commercial ad friendly deals.
100%. I think Liza Koshy is a lot more like ad friendly and mainstream media friendly and stuff, and it's awesome, but I don't see myself in that position. I don't think I could be that put together like at all fucking times. You know what I mean? Because even like, I love Liza, I'm just saying there's a lot she probably doesn't share with the world or wants to keep a secret or whatever, and that's awesome for her. I fucking love Liza.
But you don't think you could live like that, and even if it was like way more beneficial financially?
If it was still me, I guess. Yeah, like let's say, like, you know, I've been working with MTV a lot lately. I'm like doing a bunch of stuff, and I feel like they still like let me be me, you know. But it's like also mainstream, and that's really cool.
But they need you. They need people like you because MTV's hurting.
Yeah, I guess that's very true. Like that's not a cocky, but I mean like the traditional world needs digital media stars to stay afloat in this like day and age, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But so is there a part of you that you could ever see going in a more, well, I see you as going in more the other direction. Like think about the Insane Clown Posse. Like what do? They build out events, the gathering of the Juggalos.
Well, I don't know a lot about that. I was like two, but yeah.
Well, it's still going on, but, but then You do TanaCon, which is essentially your gathering of the Juggalos.
That's actually very, very true.
Right. Except it's 15-year-old girls with braces.
Yes, 100%. I think that that's how I'm I mean, TanaCon obviously fucking sucked, but I'm saying expanding my brand in the sense of things that are authentic is more me. Like, of course I would do something mainstream as fuck, but it would have to be authentic to me and like my world, my brand and stuff, you know?
So after everything that has happened in terms of, you know, the insane shit show that was TanaCon, and which really would not have been that big a deal if it wasn't for the ensuing fallout of just mass coverage.
Yeah, 100%. The media coverage on TanaCon I never expected.
Right, which is, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, but then it's kind of like it was just a content bonanza.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was a wild time.
I never expected any of it. Like, obviously intention doesn't matter, but my intention was very good. I wanted it to go very differently. So it was hard for me to, you know, have it all aired in the media everywhere and shit and just, I don't know, to have everyone come at you and tell you, like, you didn't work hard on something that you did work hard on. You know, to have everyone come at you. Don't get me wrong. Like, me getting came at in every way, like, was so well-deserved, and I deserved a lot of the heat, and, like, I could have done things so much better, but I'm just saying, I still did work hard on it. I wanted it to go better, you know?
Like, you're the one reading your comments and your Twitter mentions more than anybody else. Did you feel that your fan base was pissed off with you, or did you feel like it was more like the media saying that your fan base was pissed off with you?
I think I'm really lucky to have, like, really loyal, diehard, awesome fucking fans who are forgiving and understanding, and I feel like I always, to my fans, I'm like, yo, like, I'm not perfect and I'm gonna fuck up like 90,000 fucking ways. Please, if you're gonna stand me or like me, like, I'm human and I never want to not be that. Like, just because TanaCon was really bad, like, I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna fuck up in the future. I'm a human being and I'm displaying everything in real time, like, authentically. Like, that's just a recipe for, you know, like, messing up again, you know? So I think that there was a lot of my fans mad. There was a lot of the media saying my fans were mad. There were a lot of other people's fans. I think it was a lot of that too.
Right.
You know, people making videos about me and then their fans like coming to attack me. But I also think that I like deserved the heat that I got.
Right.
I also think I wouldn't have like stepped back from the situation and really been like, wow, like, where did I fuck up? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for that heat, I think that it was good for me to get like knocked off of everything.
Well, it was weird because, you know, I think that you very much were able to sort of just disappear for a while, not really respond. Like, and that's what a lot of people were sort of assuming or mad about in advance that you were going to do. Because the truth is that if you just stayed off Twitter for 3 weeks and then you come back, most of the hate's going to be gone and most of your fans are going to forget about it and keep it moving, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people really didn't want that. Like, they wanted me to come back instantly. But at the end of the day, I wasn't like finding out a lot of the fucked up shit that happened during TanaCon until like a week later or a week and a half later or 2 weeks or just like so much fucked up shit still. It's just like, wow, like that sucks. Like, and I wanted the time to like reflect because I felt like if I just came back instantly, like with a video, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I want to make everything better. Like, refunds. But like no knowledge on any of it. Like, that would have been so like me in the past, you know, like just like I did something wrong. I'm going to give you this long ass apology and talk a bunch. And it's not really like, you know, gonna amount to much. Like, I wanted to actually like research and learn and like sit back. And yeah, people were mad about that, but I would rather people be mad about me taking the break and me doing the research and learning and coming back smarter and stronger than coming back instantly just to appease like angry people.
Okay, did you really feel devastated by the ensuing fallout, or did you, you feel like you have to kind of act that way to show contrition and show that you feel bad?
No, and I get where you're coming from though. I think that,
because if it was me,
yeah,
I don't know how bad I would feel,
really?
But I would know that I had to publicly show that I felt bad.
I get where you're coming from, honestly.
But and I'm a psychopath.
And I get that. And I love you. I don't know. It did like really like depress me and devastate me and break my heart. Probably more than any other, like anything in my career. I think it was the first thing in my career, like the first big fucking failure, public failure, everything to really devastate and depress me because I was so booked on it going well. I was so determined to make it well. I was so ready for it to go well. Like it caught me off guard. It surprised me. It broke my heart. Honestly.
When you look at it now though, do you feel like you really fucked up, or do you feel like you were really genuinely misled by Michael to the end that you were taken advantage of?
It's so hard.
Two different ways to view the scenario, really.
I think that at the end of the day, like playing 100% victim and saying like, I was misled and I, you know, he did this wrong and he took me here and he lied to me and whatever. Like, yeah, I can take that route. And a part of me does feel that way. You know, I like at the end of the day, like, with a convention and something like TanaCon, I trusted that company, I trusted Good Times, to be the talent and for them to handle everything else and me to do the creative and the talent and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, when you're putting your name on something and you're willingly spearheading it to the public and being an egotistical asshole about it. I haven't talked about this in a while. Forgive me. I'm finally like getting into the mindset, but like
reliving your trauma.
Like I was literally just like, fuck VidCon, you know, and I was being egotistical and whatever. I think that 50% of the blame, maybe even 100 in a way, is me. And then there's also Michael and Good Times and them misleading and lying to me. It's a lot. I don't know. I still am very, I have mixed emotions on it all. But at the end of the day, I take full blame.
Right.
Like, it's my fault. I put my name on it. I promoted it. I, you know, had all the meetings with them, toured all the places. I thought it was good. And that's where I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you feel like there's a possibility of you doing another one? Or are you not even in that headspace right now?
It's weird because I expected after Tanacon for every company in the world to never like want to work with me again. And that it was almost like it's not even a matter of if I wanted to or not. It's that I couldn't, you know?
Right.
And then it didn't happen that way. Like a lot of companies were down and they saw the attention it got in the media and they were down to try again. And I feel like a lot of different companies and people and whatever saw that it had potential to work well. It just failed because of, like, you know, venue and planning and lots of things. It failed for a lot of reasons. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, I think a lot of people saw the potential that it had, that the turnout was crazy and that it could be crazy good in a lot of ways.
Right.
But I don't know. It's scary. I don't know if it was right for me to egotistically want to be the face of it.
Right.
I mean, maybe if I did it again, it would be me and a bunch of other influencers that I fuck with and
right,
it not be.
Imagine if when you did it, you went Shane, James Charles, etc., Gabby, I want to do this event. We're going to call it X, Y, and Z Con.
Exactly.
Then that's when it blew up, it'd be some blame on all of you, but it'd be way harder to really pin it on one person.
Calling it Tanacon, calling it all of it, the ego. That's what I'm saying to you. I can't ever fully blame anyone or anything because of the ego that I went into it with. Mm. That's what I learned. Like, if I learned one thing, like, it's just, I mean, I learned a lot of things, but like,
I mean, life is just a process of, you know, you start out all idealistic and young, you're 18, you think everything's great, yeah. You think your shit don't stink, and then just things just keep happening to you. I shouldn't act like this starts at 18, it really starts at birth, but you know, things keep happening and affecting you and making you a little bit more, you know, having a little bit more of a negative impression of how things are going to play out, to the point where now I'm 34, and like, in my opinion, when I think about doing a convention, I believe that I probably would like go through a lot more steps to make sure that it was going to go correctly. And I guess it's like you had to, like, you know, suffer through that. You know, normally when you're, how are you now? You're 21 yet?
20. I turned 20 at Tanacon.
Okay.
Yeah, happy birthday.
But you know, the average 20-year-old girl who's like fucking up is like, you know,
yeah,
having to get an abortion or like, you know, failing out of chemistry. And
it's actually
shit.
Very, yeah, to fail in the public eye. And to grow up in a way in the public eye. Some people can argue differently, but I think from 15 to now, like, you know, with everyone scrutinizing everything you do, really, it fucks with you in the head. And I think that is one of the ways I want to take my career, like, over time, is really talking about that. Like, what it does to so many of these young stars and these young people in the fucking public eye and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy. Mm. Like, and you're right. Like, what you just said about being 20 years old and, like, I felt like I was 19 when I started doing Tanacon. I was 19. Like, I felt so idealistic and so naive and so, maybe this will really work. Like, you know, I wanted to believe the show. I wanted to believe the smoke and mirrors that they were, like, putting on in a way, you know, because I was idealistic and naive and spiteful and young and egotistical and on this fucking crazy, like, trip, you know. It was the first thing to really knock me down and be like, whoa. Like
it makes the iDubbbz thing seem kind of petty in comparison, you know,
in a way, because
which it
of
felt
the,
like the end of the world at that time, but now it's 100%. Like, oh, that was kind of goofy in comparison to what's happening now.
I think they've both felt like the end of the world in their own ways, but when True. Other people's, you know, when other people are at risk, you know, like, to me, that's like the guilt that I live with. That's why Tanacon really, like, really hurts me. Like, at night when I go to sleep, like, what really fucking hurts me about Tanacon is, like, that I put the people that love and supported me, like, at risk, you know, or someone who believed in my idea at risk. That, to me, was what made the Tanacon the, you know, something that really, like, stepped me back. I know it's bad verbiage, I'm sorry, but you know.
No, I guess before, when I would say that I wouldn't feel bad, no, I actually, like, really think about all the kids burning to death out there in that parking lot. I would feel pretty bad.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's weird, though, from my perspective, because it was just so weird being on the inside, because I had no idea that it was going to turn into this thing, really, until, like, the end of that first day. Because we're actually in the building, and it's, like, from my perspective, yeah, I'm just, like, walking through the hall. I'm, like, you know, I'm actually, me and Lena are some of the only people that actually got to do what we were supposed to do there, because we were scheduled first, because we were probably, like, the least clout.
100. No, it's not true at all. You have the most clout. Let's be fucking real here.
I'm no Gabby Hanna.
Oh, my God. But I hate comparison.
But you're going to say I'm like,
to be honest, kind of
hot. Like, she's pretty hot, so I'm kind of hot. Or she's kind of
hottest couple, favorite couple. No jumper stand for life. But what you just said, I think, in a way, brought me a lot of closure. Even you saying that publicly just now, like, I felt that in my heart. Like, you being on the inside, that's how I felt. Like, which is dumb. Don't get me wrong. It paints me as dumb and naive, but like, on the inside, things seemed so fine because of the picture that was painted for so long.
Right.
Like I was just saying, it wasn't until after TanaCon and days after and weeks after that I was actually, like, you know, finding out all this bullshit, you know, hearing the horror stories from the fans, like, that night, or weeks later, companies telling me how they got fucked over and, like, all that kind of stuff, and past clients of Good Times telling me how they were fucked over and, like, tried to tell me and I never knew. And just, it wasn't until after, like, that's why I took that break. That's why everything, you know, it wasn't on the inside, things seemed fine, which sucks.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy to think about. So in terms of how it's sort of affecting your life right now, are you still involved in any sort of, like, legal drama or anything like that?
Not really legal drama, no. I mean, but a lot of random stuff that has to, like, pieces that have to get picked up. I feel like people thought that I just dropped that TanaCon video and that was it.
Right.
And it's so not. It will be something that I'll probably have to pick up the pieces of for the next fucking few years. But it's not going to stop me from doing what I love, or, you know, being in this space or whatever. But right now, like, for example, the thing that I was working on all day today was Fanjoy was the merchandising company for TanaCon, or whatever, they're my merch company. They fronted so much merch for TanaCon, you know what I mean? Mm. And obviously when the event ends in a few hours, that doesn't get sold. So then it's like, what do you do with that merch? And obviously you're not going to sell TanaCon hoodies now, you know what I mean?
You
like
can't.
That. Yeah, exactly. So I'm doing, like, a crazy, like, charity thing right now where every person who donates this amount of money gets mailed a fucking TanaCon hoodie, but the money goes to charity, you know? Uh-huh. Like, it's trying to figure out all of those pieces with every sponsor and every person, and just make it right with every influencer and make it right with influencers travel. I just now had my, in Houston this past weekend, I went to one of Elijah's shows, and my makeup artist, he's an influencer, Ethan is Supreme, he's like a smaller makeup influencer, and he went to the show to do my makeup and whatever, and he, like, we were just talking about TanaCon and how it affected him, and I was like, listen, like, I'll PayPal you right now for your flights, you know, if that's what you want me to do. Like, I still feel like it's a lot of, like, little pieces being picked up, and it will be for a while, you know.
Interesting.
And it's hard because anything I do wrong in the media now, it's like, well, TanaCon and then this, you know, like, it's people just, they're going to be angry no matter what.
It's kind of weird. That. It made you more famous too. And the bigger you get, the bigger the focus is on you too. Huh?
It's weird. It's such a weird thing having, like, media outlets come to you and people come to you and be like, TanaCon made you more famous. Because, like, would I go back in time and have it never happen and be less famous? Like, you know, like, do I even want that kind of fame? I don't. I know this is the funniest, memeiest thing I can possibly say, but I don't want to be the just, like, scandalous girl forever, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, I love this space. I love telling a story. I love entertaining. I don't want to ride a scandal.
Are you more and more careful as time goes by because you feel like there's certain things that might have seemed cute when you started making videos, all those ridiculous clickbait titles and stuff that just now would not really work because there's a different fucking level of attention being put on what you're doing.
100%.
And people have different expectations of you, and you have to sort of navigate that.
Mm-hmm. In a way, it sucks so much, to be honest with you. Like, in the beginning, being able to sit down and film anything, and it'd be so lighthearted and not thought out. You know, just I'm going to sit down and talk about whatever I want and film a story about whatever I want and say whatever the fuck I want. It's just fun.
And you kind of blew up off telling the most embarrassing stories.
Yeah,
and
being
shit
very candid.
And just owning it.
Yeah.
Somehow that seems different now because it's you can't show your ass more than, like, what happened to you with the TanaCon situation. You know, it's like all of a sudden the toothbrush story doesn't seem as embarrassing.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And, like, it's like now everything I want to say, I have to think about 1,000 times. Like, how's the world going to scrutinize this? How is this going to make people mad? What's Keemstar going to say about this tomorrow? Like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, you just have to think about it all. Like, and it makes it hard. It makes you think through your content 10 times more. It might make you less funny. Like, it's a lot of things, you know?
Do you feel like that's happened to you, that you just have a harder time, like, getting really relaxed on camera and just being your usual crazy self?
Yeah, because I feel like even if it's not like this, it's like when someone shoves a vlog in my face, I feel like a lot of people are thinking, like, how can I twist everything she says for clickbait, for my gain? You know what I mean? So it's every time anyone pulls out their phone to vlog, it's like I'm calculating what they're going to say and how I'm going to respond, or what I'm going to say and how they're going to, you know, it becomes more difficult. But this isn't like a feel sorry for me, like pity, whatever. Like, I signed up for this world and I love it and I love what I do. It's just finding that balance now.
But it sort of forces you to like retreat into yourself a little bit, because all of a sudden just meeting random people, random YouTubers or whatever, which probably used to seem so simple, so cool, all of a sudden becomes quite a bit trickier when you're, and not only thinking about how they're probably trying to use you for their content, that kind of thing as well.
It's like going to a YouTube party now, like I can look at a room of like 15 people and be like, all of you musers just use me in your clickbait in the last month. Like, how can I really fuck with you that tough?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, at the end of the day, you don't care about me as a person. Like, you know? Which I'm not saying that they have to, and I know I've made a lot of mistakes in the public eye, and I get it from all aspects. It changes the way you navigate through things. It changes the way you film your content. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you trust people.
So what have you been doing? Have you like sort of, I feel like in my mind, what I imagine is that you've sort of like retreated into Bella Thorne's mansion. You're smoking pre-rolled joints. Dude, you're laying by the pool.
Broken into so much lately. Her mansion just got freaking broken into. It's crazy.
That's scary.
It's a crazy place. Absolutely. But you're right. I've been like retreating for sure. Like I just kind of like, was like, I want to get back to myself. I definitely was very depressed for a second. You know, and I still, it's complicated now, obviously, but yeah, I think I went back to content. I think that everything, when you do this world, it derives so many ways. You know, how can I tour? How can I make merch? Let's have a TanaCon. Let's do this brand deal. Let's act in this. Let's work on this. But that all comes from YouTube. That's where it all came from. And I think that with TanaCon, even in a way, I lost sight of that. And that's what I want to focus on now, is making the best fucking content for my subscribers.
Right.
I think that's why I fuck with you, like, so heavily, too, is how much fucking content you put out.
Yeah.
Because it's the number one thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, I one time I had a guy come, and he sort of drew this, like, map on a piece of paper, and he said, okay, this is Disneyland. And then he draws all these arrows from it, and he's like, you know, merchandise, movies, music, all these things that like, but it all comes from Disneyland. Like, Disneyland is where they try out concepts and they figure out what characters, blah, 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 like the content. Mm-hmm. And like, he's like, you just always have to remember that your content is Disneyland, and that everything else is just like when you sell a fucking hamburger at Disneyland, you're selling like the hamburger because of Mickey Mouse, and just never forget about it. It's all about your content, you know?
That's awesome. That's an awesome way to think. I'll probably never forget that because it's so true.
Right.
I feel like that's what makes a lot of big YouTubers burn out, because they go take their content to other SVOD platforms, or they go take their content to some paid company, or they go, you know, full to like a live streaming platform or whatever. Like, they leave what got them where they are. Mm. And I saw the way TanaCon happened. It was like, I'm going to get back to what I know, because clearly I don't know conventions.
Right.
Because clearly I don't know this world. And I'm not going to be a cocky asshole and try to navigate my way through it. I'm going to learn from this and go back to what I know and start from the
I feel like Shane influenced both of us probably in a sense too, because he's really taken that attitude of just being like, okay, I'm not making that much money from ads or whatever, but I got fucking however many millions of subscribers. I'm just going to go fucking hard as fuck for no reason, and shit will just work out. And it's so dope, because it does work out for him, and he does get brand deals, and it's just perfect.
He's everything. He's dad, like, straight up. We were just, I feel like Shane for the last like 10 years, like, I was just saying this at a meeting literally like an hour ago. Like, it's crazy how much Shane can reinvent himself. I think that he really spearheaded that. At the end of the day, that's what every social media influencer needs to do, is constantly reinvent themselves and grow with the platform and grow with the times and whatever. And Shane has done that so incredibly. And all he's ever wanted is to make a film and tell a story and all that kind of stuff. And now he's like, finally, after 10 years of reinventing himself in so many different ways, doing that. And it's like beautiful. It's nutty. Like, I feel so proud of him, even as a viewer, let alone as like him, like, saving my fucking life and career and everything. You know?
Well, it's a real inspiration, because you look at so many people on YouTube who seem as if YouTube is not really their priority, but like fame is their priority. And it's not about YouTube, but it's about having a direct connection with your fans. Mm-hmm. And YouTube just happens to be the best vehicle for us to do that.
Exactly.
And to see somebody who really just prioritizes that, even like Keemstar, I know you probably have mixed feelings about Keemstar, but he motivates me with that too, because I know he doesn't make some crazy ass amount of money from doing those videos, but he just actually really likes the relationship he has with his fans, even if
he were to stop making those videos, what would he be doing? Like,
he'd be forcing him to go to Scarce.
Yeah.
And Keemstar is not going to let that happen. What'd you say?
I don't know anything about Scarce.
You don't?
Has he made some videos about me? I'm sure.
Oh, no. Remember, we had this conversation before where you were like, I don't even know who Scarce is. I'm like, how the fuck is that possible? He's just the other Keemstar.
I watch Keemstar and Philip DeFranco. I love Philip
DeFranco. I watch Philip DeFranco every single fucking day.
Me
and
too.
He needs to do a goddamn interview. Philip DeFranco, I'm going to slice your throat. And you better put this in the shit that you like today. Here's some shit I love today.
God. Everything he loves. I worship. I think he's my favorite YouTuber. He could literally say that he hates my guts and I would watch him the next day.
I'm like, so curious about what the fuck goes on at his business. Mm-hmm. That, like, what happens to make this insanely like well put together 15-minute video every day?
It's Philip DeFranco's literally Philip DeFranco and Cody Coe are probably my favorite YouTubers.
Cody Coe is good.
Like they're great. And then you, honestly. Aww. I love that for you. Shane, obviously.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're growing a lot. We have a new space down the street that we're going to be doing a lot of wild stuff out of.
That's so nuts. I can't imagine you guys not on Melrose, though.
Oh, yeah. We have this one, but we're going to have this other space to film and do office-type stuff. Yeah.
That's actually so exciting. But just please never get rid of the Melrose. Like, the people outside, everything. Like, it adds to the culture.
It is. It's dangerous. I will probably die here, but
oh my God. It's fine. Me too, then, honestly.
I mean, hey, you're lucky we're not live because somebody could just be, some frustrated TanaCon customer could just run up in here right now.
Yeah, 100%. I literally was like, can we just not go live? People hate me. Let's be real.
Well, but yeah. I mean,
we're going to get there, though.
It's not that different. But I feel like, you know.
You go live with a lot of people, though. Sorry to interrupt
you. I go live with everybody, yeah.
Yeah, that people might have beef with or not like.
Well, yeah, sometimes I have, like, rappers on here where they don't want to go live because they're afraid that so-and-so is going to show up and fucking...
like, fight them. Was FoozyTube showing up like that?
Think about that. We just had this conversation about how much we love Shane Dawson and how much we respect him.
Mm-hmm.
My Shane Dawson interview got ruined by a FoozyTube.
I saw the shirts and I saw a lot of it.
It was worth it. That's the fucked up part. It was worth
it.
It's
so hard.
But I would still really want to have like a nice 2.5 hour Shane Dawson deep conversation because I really kind of feel like I got robbed of that.
Do you think he'll come back?
Yeah.
That's good. That's what matters. What? So Fousey just like rolled up like during the interview because it was live?
Yeah, because he was watching it live. This was at the height of his whatever the fuck he was going through. And so he heard us discussing it. He felt like he wasn't being given his fair share. So then he rolls up. And then, you know, Shane, the thing is that he's a YouTuber and he knew how ridiculous this was. Mm-hmm. So he, as much as he like would have liked to just get the interview over with and be able to go about his day, it's like he kind of had to respect the fact. And then Keemstar showed up and then Ice Poseidon and Sam Pepper. And it was so exhausting.
People.
It was 4 hours of fucking madness.
I mean, I love that for No Jumper.
It was great. I loved it. Yeah, it was so ridiculous. I still think about it all the time.
It's literally like a weird dark version of like the Disney Channel having like a Sweet Life, Hannah Montana, Selena Gomez like crossover, you know? What was that? Like when they would cross over like Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana. Like it was that. But
I want to like merge retail and podcasting or live streaming to the extent of which I at some point have a retail store of which we have some sort of different like facility to handle just like the people come in. Like imagine if when the people come in they really felt like they got to be on the live stream like no problem.
Wow.
Like maybe it could be somebody just out there with a live streaming camera every single day.
Like
I don't know.
The street type of thing.
But that'd be cool for people, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Interact with you in that way.
I think that's why No Jumper fans like love you so much though, is because you are as like personable as it gets. Like I said, you're shameless as fuck. People love nothing more than people being real as fuck with their audience. I feel like you versus a lot of stars feel so tangible because in a way they know where you are, they know what you're gonna be. Where you're going to be, they know what you're going to be doing. Like, that's different. Like, most people do not do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts.
But don't you feel like you do that, too?
Yeah, but not to the extent that you do. Like, you literally, like, if someone wanted to fucking find you, like,
it'd
be a lot easier than finding me, I feel like.
Well, hey, we got choppers on deck, so they should pull the fuck up. Let's get it popping.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
No, I mean, I'm very aware of the reality of my situation.
Yeah. No, but it's awesome. I think that tangibility is what makes you so fucking, like, famous.
Right, yeah. Honestly. I want to get, like, 24-hour security probably at some point.
I'm excited for you and Lena. We love the first lady in...
Man, I feel like there's going to come a point in my life soon where I'm just going to decide that I need to keep a fucking guy with me, like, at all times. Like,
I'm going to jack off to that. Like, that
killer.
Just in the public eye is going to be so awesome. You're just,
I need
you're
a G. Yeah, just awesome. Have that with you all the time. Yeah. Fucking 7-foot-tall dude.
Yeah, on some Bad Baby shit.
Honestly.
She execute, her and Frank execute that so well.
Well, think about that, though. That's a modern-day flex, because when I hang out with Lil Pump, the fact that he has 6 7-foot-tall dudes with him that will fucking snap somebody's neck if they get too close to him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's way cooler than the Gucci and the groupies 100%. Waiting outside and the jewelry.
It's so true. It is. It makes you, it's like a top tier level of fame, 100%. But obviously,
I would rather have that flex than a fucking Bugatti.
I kind of agree. I think walking around with like security guards is that, even just that sense of like safety and protection is
isn't that weird
cool.
That we feel that way though? Because I mean, when you think about X, it's like he should have fucking security with him. That would have been the most well spent. Whatever, a couple $100,000 or whatever you're going to spend in a year or whatever that X could have possibly spent would have just had more security around him.
And it sucks that it took that to teach that lesson. For us to even be saying this right now took that in a way, which sucks.
And then you have Ashley, and she's your security.
Yeah.
And Hunter. Wait, do you hang out with her still?
Yeah, Ashley lives with me.
Okay.
Yeah, she's my fucking dog for life.
I just like got I panicked for a second. I'm like, oh, wait, if they don't really like fuck with each other anymore.
You're just like saying that now.
Well, I don't know.
I have the same fucking four or five friends that I've had forever. I just.
That you watched me have sex with.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That was nuts.
Shout out to Amari.
Yeah, shout out to Amari. He deserves the world. He's so much fucking funnier than every person on this platform.
I hope he didn't get any spray back during that.
What?
During the sex.
I was like, the Tanacon backlash or the...
Well, it'd be weird for him, you know.
Yeah,
I don't love that for him.
I don't love that for him. I taught you that, I think. Love
you
that.
You did. You started it. You started it in such a weird way. But and how? Also, the other day when you were wasted as fuck at the Pornhub Awards, you said it like every other word. I love that for you.
Oh, yeah. Like, blackout me is very, like, robotic. Like, I'll have, like, 20 phrases, and I'm very good at being like, hi, I'm Tana, and I love that for you. But on the inside, I'm like...
Yeah. Is that the first time you, like, cut a rug out in public in a little while?
Huh? Does that mean blacking out? Does that mean
cut? Yeah, going out and having a good time.
Cut a rug.
Okay. Well, I think literally, sorry, by the way.
I love that for you.
I'm sorry to all the female Tana stans out there. Yeah. Also, follow They're me on Instagram, at Adam22.
They're used to all of that shamelessness.
Right. Hey, I hit a million. I just want to throw that out there.
Dude, I love that for you.
Finally hit a million. I really felt like that. Like now, I don't give a fuck.
It's honestly like you've deserved a million if I could have gave you my million.
Well, it's hard as a 34-year-old. You know, it's a little different when you got
so weird. But you're so clout culture.
That Facetune booty. Yeah. The followers just seem to just roll in.
It's true. You just refine a little bit and they're there.
Well, that's one thing I always liked about you is they were very real about Facetune culture. And
It'd just be dumb to lie about. I see girls like smoothered to the nines and I'm just like, how do you flex like that doesn't exist?
Right.
You know, and then you're on live with like acne, but then you're on Instagram with none. Like, just, I don't want to lie like that.
Right. You know? I always thought that was cool.
Oh, that's really nice. I mean, I'm not going to stop using Facetune though. So how real am I?
No, yeah. I mean, Instagram is your work of art and you should do with it as you please.
It's just interesting. Because it's like if you don't edit a photo, people are going to pick it apart for the things you could have edited it for. So it's interesting. But I think that's why I like Bella so much upon meeting her, was because she was like, I would rather people pick me apart for my acne than edit out my acne.
Right.
Whereas I was probably more like, I'd rather edit out my acne and people pick me apart for whatever else. Like, I'd rather just avoid all the bullshit. But I guess like seeing someone strip down and be more real was cool. And
people love
it. Made
that.
Me want to do that. It made me Facetune less. It made me want to post edited shit less, I guess. You know?
Okay, but here's the thing, is at some point in the struggle of being a YouTuber or an entertainer or whatever, I feel like a lot of times when people fall off is when all of a sudden they want to make content that they're passionate about but that their fans don't give a fuck about.
It's hard to integrate that.
Do you worry about that?
It's so interesting because I never really had a worry like that until the last like few months. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, like I came up for storytelling. So how the fuck am I going to reinvent storytelling? How the fuck am I going to reinvent what I do in that sense? You know, whether it's right now, the direction I want to take my channel is more like Shane, like someone's just filming me doing whatever the fuck I'm doing in my day,
right.
I guess. Before he was doing all the documentaries, like how he went to like Kathy Griffin's house with his friends, like that, like give me a task, give me an adventure. And I'm going to show you like a reality television, like personality,
right.
YouTube version of that.
I mean, Shane's got such a good track record that it's like if Shane's video was like, we went to the golf course.
Yeah.
I would be like, all right, like I trust you, bro. Like I think you're going to probably make this a pretty entertaining day at the golf course. That's what says a lot.
Exactly. That's kind of what I want to do. I want to tell stories in that way, I guess. Like I just uploaded one of me like going to the dentist. Like it's me going to the dentist, you know, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to walk you through that day, I guess. Mm. You know, and I also want to do things of like I said, I came up telling stories. So I've been spending a lot of time like interviewing some people and wanting to work on videos where I tell other people's stories that I'm passionate about or people that might not have the platform that I have, you know, like I want to tell their story because they might not be able to tell it to this many people or whatever. So I'm excited to evolve in that kind of way, just evolve comedy content. So hopefully my fans still enjoy it because they think I'm funny.
But do you feel like your young ass girl audience is at some point going to be like, no, we want a story about getting fingered for the first time because that's like relatable.
I think you have to mesh that 100%. I think if I woke up one day and was like, my content has aged 10 years, I would lose fucking half of my followers. You have to find a way to, you know, keep the fun, young relevancy, but also reinvent your content. And that to find that has been hard for me. You know what I mean? And I think I finally got my hands on that and what I want to do and I'm ready. And then just life's been crazy the past, you know, week or so.
See, like, yeah, I felt so, like, when I was in the club with you after the Porn Awards and Rico Nasty was there.
Such a good headspace there.
Right. And I introduced you to Rico Nasty and I just, like, and she fucking knew who you were and everything. And I just, like, in my head, I was like, oh my God, Tana, this is what you should be doing because this is just like a dope ass young woman who's like making awesome music. She's such a cool person and stuff that like for you to take your fucking level of content and just like you could blow her up. Like you could, if you
did. It's so funny because I look at her as like blown up. Like I would love to be in Rico Nasty's position, but
she's definitely like killing it. But like from your perspective, like if you made some dope ass video with her, that like somehow showed her personality, showed you guys going out and doing something, whatever the video would be, that would be fucking huge because it would be just like, you're in a position where you could just like put girls on.
It's Adam, honestly, like call me if you have advice like this because like it's a genius fucking idea. Like you're 100% right. Like I just said to you, like I want to start evolving, telling other people's stories on my channel because I have this following, like I can only talk about getting fingered or whatever the fuck so many times. Like, you know, like you want to talk about something better and to be able to tell other people's stories is sick as fuck. And you're right. Like to tell Rico Nasty's story, like in any way, even if it was just us doing something crazy and people getting to know her or whatever is sick. I'm literally going to reach out to her. Rico, if you're watching this, let's make a video.
Just my idea. I mean, it'd be kind of weird if you like didn't want to do it. And I just told you to do it on camera.
But no, putting girls on is like, you're so right.
Because that's your fans like you because you're a fucking confident young woman, and that's
really nice.
They just want to hear those stories. I feel like, you know, whether it's you or somebody else. Or like, have you ever thought about podcasting? Sometimes 100%. I look at Shane's shit, and I'm like, it's crazy because Shane was doing podcasts. Shane could have done an hour and a half long Jeffree Star interview, and it would have been cool, but it would definitely not have been what he actually did when he went out and vlogged it. Like in his case, vlogging to me is like he's showing how dope vlogging is as compared to just sitting down and doing an interview. You know,
100%. I actually think that podcasting in a way was probably a step for him to what he's doing now because it taught him to how to talk to people and how to ask the right questions and how to have people, you know, be so comfortable around him. I remember sitting down for my first podcast of Shane's. And just being like, it literally feels like I've known him my whole life. You know what I mean? And I would love to use podcasting as a tool on making, you know, my social skills better, me talking to people better, or whatever that may be. I definitely want a podcast. I think right now life's too crazy for a podcast. I think it's something I would definitely want to do in like 6 months.
It's weird though, because like doing a podcast for you is like basically just, it's just a conversation. So it's like really you just setting up your vlogging camera and talking to somebody for a half hour and then not editing it down. It's like, what's the difference between that and a podcast? Exactly. It's just a sliding scale.
Exactly.
But so when you, I guess I already asked you about like what kind of content you want to make and everything. That was what I was about to say again. I feel like I'm high and I was going to ask the same question twice, which I do sometimes. Yeah.
I get that. I do that when I'm high.
I don't know if they always notice it.
I don't know.
Are you like?
I feel like you could rephrase it.
Do you feel like you're addicted to Kush? Or anything else?
Lately, I feel like, I don't know. That's a really interesting question. Because lately, I've been like, wow, I smoke a lot of weed. Like,
when
I
you're depressed, it's easy to smoke yourself into just complacency, right?
Yeah, lately, the past, like, even just like 3 or 4 or 5 days, it's really been like, I can't function unless I'm high right now just because I've been so depressed. It's like it takes you to that level of like numb, I guess, which I think is the most scary. I've always just smoked because I like being high. But when you get in a sad state, relying on that to kind of like numb you out or even you out or mellow you out or whatever is scary because then it's like, where is the line? Is this addiction? Where is the line of weed addiction? I guess you would say,
right.
You know, which is scary.
Because when you get to the point that it does feel like it's affecting you negatively and then you still feel kind of powerless to stop, that's just a weird space to be in. You're like, does this mean I'm addicted? Like mentally, even though I know it's not physically addicted
per se? Exactly. That's exactly how I feel because it's like I could stop, but why would I? You know, and that's what's weird. Like it's a weird like space. Like is that addiction?
Do you think you have a problem with other drugs?
No. I think it's so funny to see people be like, you know, Bella Thorne's a crackhead. Dana Moshe's a crackhead. Then what kind of crack are they doing? What kind of drugs are they on?
Do you feel that that's... Where does that come from?
Maybe just us being like... I think it's a product of even just us being so fine with coming on camera with like no makeup and acne and our hair unbrushed and being like, right, yeah, no, I haven't showered in 2 days. Because it's not like the social norm. Like girls want to be all pretty and like, I'm perfect and whatever. And I just can't fucking do that.
Isn't that funny? That like face tuning is such the norm now that it's like...
that when you're ugly, like you're on crack. Yeah, straight up.
I heard somebody say that the other day about some girl. They're like, she's a fucking meth head. I'm like, no, she just has bad teeth.
And she didn't smoother her hair and patch out all her acne and fucking fix her jaw. That's what's nuts. I think that like people just, or they see you, you know, fucking up in any way or being in the public eye for a long time and they're very quick to just assume. But yeah. No, I feel like I smoke a lot of weed. I've literally I've smoked like 2 cigarettes in my life. Like I don't really abuse drugs. Like
that'd be so cool if we smoked a cigarette right now.
Just take it. Shane tried to get me to do that for one of my first fucking videos.
Really?
18-year-old, actually.
Break people in on cigarettes. That's a good theme for a video. Yeah. Go outside of high school, wait till some kids come out, and then give them cigarettes, film their reaction, smoking their first one.
Absolutely. I'm going to get right on that.
People
would love that at the same time. Holy fuck. Would love that.
This store is right next to a high school, so I do like, it's weird when we're sort of standing outside and I'm watching like all these little miserable like, it's kids a high school, so yeah. But they look like, you know, just they look kind of awkward and stuff. Yeah. And it's just funny because it's like I see them and I just feel, it brings me right back to being in that place of just feeling awkward.
You want to do so much funny shit too, because No Jumper just does so much shit. Like you probably want to go over there and like fuck with the high school kids for a video, but
hell no, I ain't going near that high school. I feel weird as shit even being 2 blocks away from it. I'm like,
hey, that's true.
Leave me out of it. We ain't going to the high school.
Yeah, well, that's actually very true. People could definitely misconstrue that.
How I always feel when kids are like, take me to prom. I'm like, maybe I'm just not gonna go near the high school dance. Yeah. That seems weird.
Yeah, it's so weird though, because like if you were to do that, it's so fucking weird and wrong. But if like Casper Lee were to do that, or some like super nice, like Joey Graceffa, like
a different image.
Yeah, but you have to know that. I think in this world, at the end of the day, like you couldn't do that. You could, but it'd be messy.
I mean, because, you know, I always just rode BMX bikes. So from very young, like 13, 14 years old, I was always used to being on school campuses riding bikes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you get older and older. And then one day, like sort of towards like the end of my BMX career, you just sort of start to feel like, damn, I'm like 28. I got face tattoos and I'm still riding this little bike around the school. It's like, kind of weird.
Go. Yeah, that's actually very true. I think that's even YouTube. I was just talking about like today, even just like, how old is too old to be sitting down and doing like boyfriend does my makeup and slime and whatever? Like, when is it? When do you have to leave that and evolve too? Just everything. Like, when are you too old for everything?
Yeah, all that stuff. Because it's like, you know, that people want your content to keep progressing and changing and stuff. So you can't just get into that loop of just doing the same exact thing over and over, you know?
Yeah. It's so nuts too to see people like come at you like, oh, you're old or oh, whatever. But like, you're a genius. Like, you see what there is to be made or what there is to do in the digital world. And you're capitalizing on that and you're smart about it. And like, yeah, you could have some traditional job as a traditional influencer for like Vice or Interviewer 9.
If I wasn't doing this, I'd be selling drugs. So for the record.
Okay.
Or actually, no, if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably have like a brand or something. But
you're just the smartest.
Like, I have a brand and a media company, so it's better.
Yeah. But to do on some shit and No Jumper and all that through social media is like genius. Like, you're a fucking genius. It's so funny to watch people like not.
I appreciate that. Well, you probably get a lot of shit for even associating with me. I see it that people are mad that you invited me and Lena to Tanacon.
Yeah, but people are mad that I'm here.
That
Hi,
you
I'm
live
sorry.
In this world and exist as well. Yeah.
I think that's why you and I work, though, is because like a lot of people could be mad that I'm hanging out with you and a lot of people could be mad that you're hanging out with me.
People get so mad that girls love me that like when they see me at the Pornhub Awards, I'm friends with all these girls. The people that hate me, it makes no sense in their brain. Yeah. They're like, how can you fuck with him?
But you really are like a not to use feminist, but you are like, you love girls. You love seeing girls. Like, for example, Rico Nasty, like you're so down for her. You want her to rise. Like, you're about girls, like, getting to the bag and succeeding.
A big part of my
plan... Which a lot of guys aren't in this industry.
Well, a big part of my plan, though, with No Jumper is because I hate the fact that, like... The whole problem with No Jumper is that it's all me. It's all... Adam. This is all Adam's opinions and stuff. So I just want to build it out so it's more of a plurality of faces. And like a big, big part of that is that I just want to like, you know, hire women that can emphasize women and what women are doing. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like traditional media just doesn't do that. Or 100%. Traditional like hip hop media just doesn't do that. And I also feel like from my perspective, it's like, yeah, I don't listen to that many female rappers, but there are dope ass people in this subculture that do. So I need to hire them to document that culture. And I feel like if once I like get the right people in place, that it'll be
that's
how we're going to expand and make it bigger than me at some point in the near future. You're going to be like,
I think
damn,
it is bigger than you already.
Yeah, but it's going to get a lot bigger than me, like to the point where like No Jumper as like a media company is like, think about something more like Complex. Like, you don't even know who started Complex.
That's
and
very,
it doesn't matter
true.
You know,
that's very, very true. It's so crazy though, because No Jumper is fucking nuts. What you're doing, no one else is doing, and for you to even want to make it bigger than that is nuts. I respect it.
It's awesome. Like, what the fuck else am I going to do? I feel the same way about you. You probably got enough money that you don't got to go to work. You don't got to do anything.
But I don't know how long I'll have this opportunity to, you know, be where I am. So it's like, you want to do as much as you can while you can. That's
but
what's
do you
crazy.
Feel that pressure of like, fuck, if I, and also it's just that somebody could take your spot. There's a lot of fucking dope ass young girls. When you see 100%. Somebody like Emma Chamberlain, you feel like, she's funny. She's younger than me. She's going to take my spot. I need to Nancy Kerrigan her ass.
I don't know what that means.
That means
I
you fucking show up and just break her leg.
No. Holy fuck.
Or you send a dude to do it.
Emma was different, though. I think a lot of people I could look at as like in like, as competition in like a Cardi Nicki way. Like, we're competing for the same thing. But meeting Emma the second I met her, she was dope as fuck.
Yes.
And that's what I liked about her. She was really like realistic, really fucking raw, really dope. Wanted to welcome anyone like anywhere. You know, whether she was rising really fast, had respect for small creators, and she just has her head on her fucking shoulders. So that's why to me it was like, I can work alongside or with this girl in this community, and we can be two young ass female faces of modern day YouTube culture right now. Regardless of if you hate me or whatever, it's just that's just the way things work.
It's just inevitable that you being successful at what you've done is just going to create like a fucking army of girls who are trying to do the same thing, and that inevitably some of them are going to become really fucking popular.
Yeah.
And it's just like, from your perspective, it's like, you want to be Cardi, you don't want to be Nicki, because Cardi seems like she fucks with people that are young and up and coming, and Nicki's image has always been that she doesn't show any love to other up and coming female artists.
Which just sucks.
And that's, you never want to be that person. Like, that's how I feel too, is that it's like, as if say some kid comes out and starts doing podcasts tomorrow, and I'm like in my world and I'm kind of jealous or whatever, it's like I have absolutely nothing to gain from trying to keep him down, but I have everything to gain from having a good relationship with him, because I'm gonna be his OG. I'm gonna be his fucking old head version
teaming
of him
up.
You know,
like teaming up is it's,
I would way rather like be on his side and help him than, because just in the long term nothing good can come from trying to hold somebody back.
It's like, even just like, I met Emma for the first time at a Playlist Live, and I knew from the like going in that we would fuck with each other, unless she was some kind of like facade or whatever, but I didn't think she was, you know. And I wanted to film with her, and for her walking my hotel room being like, Tana, like, I don't know if you know this, but I've watched you for like 2 years. Like, to see this girl blowing the fuck up and like watch me and like talk about my past videos and stuff was like so existential for me. It was my first time, you know, like having that moment where it's someone younger than me and up and coming, and it's like, wow, I fuck with you, you fuck with me, this is sick, like we can do shit together, you know. And then even at TanaCon, like after things had failed on my birthday, I was like crying in a back room with her for like 2 hours, like just telling her all the fucked up shit that's happened to me in this industry and shit people have tried to do to me. And just while TanaCon was happening too, being like, look at this, like don't be an egotistical idiot, like feeling like I had any form of knowledge to teach her, to save her from like bullshit, was like sick as fuck.
Yeah,
you know,
that's nice.
So it was awesome, because she's young as fuck, and already I'm seeing so many people try to like take advantage of her, and I just want to like save her, you know. She's lucky to be in with like the, you know, they're lucky to be in with her too. I'm just saying that whole squad of her, James and the Dolans, they're all good people,
right.
So that's sick.
She's lucky to like have had a couple generations of people go before her that are going to be able to help like instruct her about things.
Absolutely.
That probably seemed kind of overwhelming like earlier in your career. And even you are at like a certain level of generations of YouTubers, you know. It's like somebody like fucking Jenna Marbles, you know, it's like it goes back to that. It's like she's like, you are the fucking a few generations after Jenna Marbles.
And I'll never forget her first like conversations to me, Jenna, like, and her first like sets of like advice to me. You know what I mean? It meant the world because I grew up watching her. So if I could ever do that for anyone, like, it's an honor, you know, whether people like hate me or not. If I can impact one fucking person who like fucked with me, it's sick. You know?
How is your relationship with James now?
We're good. I don't think we're like as close. I think it's honestly like, I want the absolute best for James no matter what. And he's been there for me in so many moments that, like, no one else was. And no matter if I talk to him every day or not, James always keeps it real with me. Mm. Like, I literally was on the set of my music video and was calling him, asking him for, like, advice. And he was, like, there. Like, I can never take that away. We're just very different in the ways that we, like, operate our day-to-day lives. Mm. So it's very hard for us to find common ground on that. And I think that I am... You know, like, I'm lazy. I smoke weed and I like this world and stuff. And James doesn't like that kind of stuff.
He's,
you know,
like Mr. Motivated CEO.
But it's awesome. Yeah. Like, I worship James Charles. I literally, if someone asked me, like, who do you think is the most successful, like the smartest person in your space right now? I mean, obviously Shane's dad, but I'm saying, like, James works so hard. He wakes up every day at 7 a.m.
It's scary. It's like, he's kind of like, it's scary to think about where he might be at in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Because his work ethic is just like,
yeah, he kinda doesn't sleep. Like,
damn,
he doesn't.
How do you do that?
He doesn't sleep. He doesn't party. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't. I feel like James really is just like, fuck fun. I'm going to have it later. Like, I'm going to have fun doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And it's, I think me, like, I would crack under that pressure. I would break down and lose my mind.
Like, I mean, even like the way he talks about like his own love life and stuff, it feels like he has like an inherent like aversion to simple fun in a way, because he's so focused on making something out of himself. You
but
know?
It's awesome. It's so awesome. I just don't think I could do it. So I commend I worship James Charles, like, straight up. For anyone asking my opinion on him, I will never negate how hard he works. Like, he's awesome.
Right.
You know,
how do you feel? Okay. So this has been the most talked about thing for you recently. And then obviously, you know, we're probably gonna have to talk about it at some point. Like, how did you feel when you heard about what happened to Mac, and where, let's just really contextualize, since it kind of all got out there.
Yeah.
Like, what your relationship with him was like, because a lot of people tried to come at you as if you were masquerading, as if your relationship with him was something other than what they assumed it actually was.
It's so hard. And I should have thought that through in the moment more, that posting something so out of context was going to, like, arise those questions, you know? But it's like, I grew up obsessed with Mac Miller. Like, just, I remember, like, literally being in seventh grade, like, listening to All Be There on repeat, obsessing over, like, how much he loved his mom. And then, like, maybe eighth grade, something like that, I don't know. And then being, like, a freshman of high school, getting out of school and listening to, like, Kids and The Spins and, like, all that shit, and just evolving, and then waiting in lines for hours for his concerts. I probably saw him live, like, 6 times. Mm-hmm. My, like, first boyfriend in high school, I was, like, obsessed with him because he had a Pittsburgh tattoo, like Mac, you know? Like, I was a fucking diehard fan who was so obsessed with him. And his resilience in a way too, like, no matter what people said about him, because people talked a lot of shit on him or didn't give him the credibility he deserved, and he always just had a smile on his face, you know what I mean, like, got through, like, Smile Back, that song, like, was so inspiring to me. And then to, like, go through TanaCon and be so fucking depressed as fuck, it's the most depressed I've ever been in my career, 100%. And then, like, to get to know Mac, like, you know, to, like, I think he DM'd me first, you know, and then just to start talking and, like, hanging out, and, like, it was clear to me that, like, right away, like, he wanted to, like, almost get to know me, I guess, which...
Did he seem like he knew a bunch about you? Like, he had watched the YouTube and shit, like, figured out some stuff, or no?
I don't think a lot. I think that he saw some shit and wanted to know from my perspective. You know what I mean? I think I commented, like, GOAT on his photo in, like, June.
Right.
And he saw it and he followed me and, like, messaged me and, like, whatever. And that's, like, where it all started. But even, like, we'd had discussions, like, I'd comment on his photo and then I'd get hate on that, you know, and he'd be like, why? And I, like, you know, I told him everything, my whole, like, life story, and he was really, it seemed like he was genuinely there and genuinely really cared. And it was the first thing to take me out of, like, that depression from TanaCon, like, to take me out of that depressive, like, state. He was, like, really, really fucking there. And, like, when he, I have so much to say, but I guess it's, like, the world, the second that he died, like, I got on a plane, like, thinking everything was fine. I literally, the night of the Pornhub Awards after, I was telling Lena, like, I'm going to see Mac. I want to go see him. Like, literally, like, that night I was supposed to hang out with him. And then I just didn't. I got too drunk. I went home, whatever. Like, I went home, and then I woke up the next morning to leave for tour, and he hadn't texted me yet. And he texted me, or would talk to me at any means. Like, by that point, he would have said something back to me, you know? And so on the way to the airport, I texted him, like, good talk, like, sarcastically, like, you know, good talk, because, like, he didn't say anything, you know? And I got off the plane to everyone, like, in my life that knew me, that knows me personally, and knew how, because I'm always talking about him. I just didn't talk about it publicly, I guess, you know? And was like, I'm so sorry. What can I do? What can I do? And then to get on your phone and, like, see the whole world, like, dehumanizing someone that you knew as a human is so angering and upsetting and painful, just for to see him, you know, just being what's the word, like, talked about as Ariana Grande's ex, or another rapper that's overdosing, or, you know, another, you know, check on your friends, make sure they're okay. But, like, the day before, for him to be happy and, like, just sober and fine and not abusing drugs like crazy and fucking happy as fuck and excited for life and excited about tour and a human fucking being, and no one crediting him like that. Him just being another fucking black and white RIP post, RIP to the GOAT, you know, that's it, let's move on, was heartbreaking to me. And it's like, in that moment, all I wanted was to, like, humanize him and show him, I guess, from, like, how I saw him.
I feel like a lot of people were really quick to assume that he was just in this terrible, miserable, drugged out place. Exactly. You don't think that was the case?
No, and I don't know if I'm going to get backlash for saying that, and I'm not negating, like, anything. No one should do drugs. Drugs fucking suck. They take lives. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, I talked to him every day. Like, he was happy as fuck. He was so excited for tour. He was sober. He was waking up every day, going to the gym, like, preparing his body, drinking juice for, like, tour type shit. You know, really? Just happy as fuck. Like, and to see the world paint him is just like he was sad and like what it's just not. That's, to me at least, that's not the case. And it sucks. Like to watch someone, so one of the most like human people I've probably ever met,
right,
like be so dehumanized is like soul shattering.
We really don't know anything about what he was doing when he passed, you know, which is kind of a weird part about it, because I mean, I guess we'll find out in time, but it's like, you know, the truth is that if you do drugs or whatever, it's like, it doesn't mean that you were doing them nonstop constantly if you pass away from it.
Exactly.
Shit can happen to you from one fucking crazy night.
We have seen, like, you, of course, sure, that you see every celebrity do, like, a little coke, you know?
Yeah.
Just what I just think about, like, people like G-Eazy and Halsey who've had, like, public scandals and whatever, and, like, just lots of people, they do coke, they do drugs. I'm not saying coke, I'm just, that was an example. Any right. drug. People just do drugs for fun sometimes, and sometimes I feel like things can happen or things can be taken too overboard, and the media just doesn't account for that at all. If someone dies from anything drug related, they were a fucking addicted abuser going down the hole of depression and crazy. And I'm not negating any of that. I'm just saying, to see someone be so fucking happy and healthy and awesome and to get no credit for that in the world sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's like everyone, because when a famous rapper dies or a famous person dies, it's like the media is always so quick to try to paint them as the simplest version of whatever they can possibly do. So with X, it was creative genius, but accused, or not even accused, just abuser, piece of shit, domestic violence, whatever the fuck they wanted to say. Yeah. I mean, that shit was... That hurt, because it's like he became a punchline to a lot of people, as much as he became a fucking icon and a symbol to a lot of people as well. It's like people are so quick to just use him as a scapegoat for their agenda.
Exactly.
And with Mac, it's a lot of the same thing. Even though I will say, though, I almost have never in hip hop, like you see it once in a while, but almost nobody had anything bad to say about this dude. Like the level of people who fucked with him and who respected him that came out of the woodwork talking about it is unreal.
I think that's a product of the way he was to people, you know? Seriously, like I feel like he always wanted to put a smile on someone's face. And that was different for like most people, you know? I don't think most people act like that, especially in his position. Yeah, I feel like he had every room to be a cocky asshole who didn't give a fuck about anyone, and he just wasn't. And I think looking back, like posting that post, like, it was in the moment. I was seeing everything everywhere, and all I wanted to do was humanize him, and I was like grieving, and I just wanted to show people, like, look at him being a human, and I loved him, you know. I loved him so much, and I, looking back, I don't know if I would do the same thing, you know. And I understand everyone's concerns, and I don't think I've said this on your podcast, but like to anyone who was offended in any way or supported Mac, I should have gone into your podcast saying this, like, I'm sorry. The last thing I wanted to do was offend or upset anyone or make anyone think I was doing it for attention, because it wasn't that. Like, I wanted to fucking humanize someone that I loved. But I get why people would say, you know, you've never posted with him before. Like, you could have just posted a photo. You didn't have to. Like, I understand all the concerns. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about someone I loved that the world was fucking ripping apart.
Well, it's weird, too, because people want to draw, like, a really fine line that the only way that two people can be involved is, like, publicly. Fucking or dating.
Yeah.
And it's like there's a lot of middle ground where someone could be spending time with somebody, maybe they have some kind of relationship sexually or whatever, because people were so quick to call you a hypocrite for having made out with Tribby that night.
Yeah.
It's like,
dude,
you making out with someone doesn't mean a whole lot. Like,
yeah, 100%. Like, that was, it was such a joke. Yeah, like, yeah. Making out with Trippy was such. Because
you weren't talking to him before that, and you weren't talking to him after
exactly. that. Exactly. It was such a fucking, like, silly little joke that Trippy and I were both in on. And obviously, like, if I could go back in time, I would have never done that. Mm. Did I, like, in the moment, even in that moment, I thought about Mac, but I didn't think he would. Like, it was a joke. It was clear to anyone, like you, me, or someone who knows me, knows that that was just like a joke. You know, yeah. It was just like for shits and gigs. But I, to the world seeing that, I get it. And it, timing was so bad. And I am willing to accept any criticism from people. I understand.
Right.
But I don't know what there is to do. It, just because something silly like that happened doesn't mean I didn't love Max so much and don't love him, you know?
Right. Yeah. How do you, like... I don't know. How do you make sense of it at a certain point? Or, like, do you still feel torn up over it?
Dude, I've really, like, I've never had something tear me up like this, like, at all. Like, I literally, like, walk down the street and I look at random people and I, like, see his face on their face and just, like, start crying and have to go home. Like, I hear his voice in my head all the time. Like, I feel like all the time when I was at his house, if there was, like, silence, he would be, like, playing the piano. That was, like, his thing. That's, like, how I remember him. And I literally, like, in my dreams, it's just, like, piano music. I wake up hearing it. Like, I don't handle, like, death well, I don't think, as a person in general. My best friend died when I was, like, 15, like, in front of me. Uh-huh. And just, like, since that point of life, like, I've just never processed death well. I've always been a very, like, strong-headed, strong-willed person who can, like, you know, I handle anything. I'm stubborn, whatever you want to say, but, like, death. And, like, I've never had, like, a here today, gone tomorrow thing either, like that, you know, for him to just be fine and then not. Like,
right.
It still doesn't feel real. Like, today's what? Thursday. I had plans with him on Monday. Like plans, you know, to hang out. Like, I'm going to see you. I'm sorry for sucking. Like, you know, I just moved houses. And, like, I was debating between two houses, one, like, on Melrose and one in Sherman Oaks. And, like, literally, like, he was like, you know, get the Sherman Oaks one. Like, it's closer to me. Like, that'll be an easier commute. Like, whatever. And now, just walking through my new house that I was so excited about, like, I just want to fucking die. Like, it's, like, everything. Everything. And... people are so mad at me, but I just want anyone who fucking, like, supports him to know how much I genuinely loved him.
Right.
You know?
Because a lot of people, yeah, probably feel, like, the main conception, I guess, is, and it's because a lot of people don't like you in the first place, and they want someone to take out their aggression on when they see someone die, and they feel a lot of different feelings about it, and it's just so tempting to just try to, like, pin the blame on somebody. And to be honest, I mean, we saw a lot of the same things when, well, I'm not even going to say who, but when a certain rapper died, like, earlier this year and stuff that a lot of people love, he's fucking a lot of girls around the same time, and a lot of them had different reactions online. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that's a normal fucking experience. Yeah. Like, if you're some fucking rapper or whatever, chances are you know, were seeing a couple different girls within the last year before you passed away. And it's just like, to then drag all those girls for mourning in their own way publicly seems kind of fucking stupid to me.
It's hard. It's kind of cruel. I think going back, I wouldn't have, you know, done things the same. And I don't know. It's just like a part of me wants the world to remember him and live his, like, legacy on. Mm. You know, I don't want it to be an RIP post. I want them to get that he was a human being and so incredible and there for everyone and made everyone smile and so talented and all that kind of stuff. But is it my place to even share that? And are people just going to think I'm doing it for clout and attention?
Yeah, because now at this point, yeah, it's like you just feel like the microscope is on you because you want to, like, use your platform to raise awareness about him, but then, like, you sort of now have this, like, stain upon that attempt,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So it's just very hard. I think that from this point, like, my... what I should do, you know, is apologize. I didn't want to hurt anyone, you know, and move on and grieve in silence because I don't want people to think I'm, I guess, I don't know, capitalizing off of it. To see comments of people saying, like, you're capitalizing off of his death, you're clout hungry, you just wanted attention. Like, you can do a million things on this planet for attention, and I'm not in any place where that's what I need or want to do for attention. Like, right. I fucking loved him so much. And, like, it sucks. Like, you know, for people to fucking think that because that wasn't it at all. But I get it. So it's hard. I get why people would think that.
Yeah, it's tough because you kind of become, like, this caricature of yourself that's, like, bigger than yourself where, like, people want to imply motives upon the things that you do. And the bigger that you get, right, and the more people know about you who don't like you,
yeah,
the more that just keeps happening over and over. And it's
exactly,
it's a weird thing to go through, you know?
Yeah. I think that's why that's another reason why I love Max so much, because it was it's in his position, me commenting on his photos and him commenting back or him commenting on mine or whatever and seeing all that hate, like he could have just been like, whoa, like this girl's hated. I'm not going to keep talking to her. I'm not going to entertain this. I'm not going to get to know her. And like he didn't, you know, he like still kept a lot. Like a lot of people are, I feel like intimidated by that, you know,
right?
Like even like other people that I've like dated in the past or anything like that, they're like, I don't know if like this hate is good, you know, I don't know if we could do this, I don't know, whatever. I'm not saying I dated him at all, right. I'm just saying like people walking into my like realm,
a lot
like,
of people,
that hate is scary.
A lot of people are really really quick to try to blame Ariana. What's your opinion of that?
I think it's so fucking stupid. Like it's like it's not her fault at all. Yeah. I don't know anything about them or what they had or anything like that, and I just, it's not her fault at all. Like that really at the end of the day. And Ariana's, she's, I can't even imagine living the life she's lived as well. Like what she's been through.
Mm.
Like it's crazy. I don't, I shouldn't even have a right to comment on it. You know yeah. what I mean? Like it's Ariana fucking Grande.
But I mean, all those people saying that online, like it seems like such a like hideous line of logic yeah. to use to just assume that somebody, you know, because okay, let's say that, because they're working under the assumption that Mac had this insane drug problem and that she so was sad. Running away from it instead of helping him with it. There's just so many yeah. crazy assumptions that people have from what they see in the media and stuff with yeah. stars of the size, you
know? I couldn't agree more. Like the media, what the media does to all of this mm. is insane. Like that, if anything, that's the one thing, like that's what I'm so passionate about, is letting people know like what's really going on in the world. That's why I like YouTube, because you can right. skip that media, I guess. But
because think about yeah. who's actually saying that stuff about Ariana. It's a bunch of fucking people on Twitter.
Yeah.
But then the media takes it and mixes it all up and makes it look like there's these yeah. mobs of saying people saying it. It's like, yeah, maybe there are mobs of people saying it, but there's mobs of people saying all kinds of stuff in the fucking YouTube comments.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you necessarily need to try to spin a fucking narrative out of it exactly. just because she's a big superstar, and if you use her name, it's going to get more clicks. Just, so it's the hideous fucking logic that we live behind now.
Like the media should let him rest in peace. The media should let his legacy live on. The media should let her rest in general. Like that, like that's just the bottom line to me. It's not her fault,
right?
Like she should not have to go through that at all.
It's not your fault.
Hard. It's a hard situation all around.
If someone overdoses and you broke up with them before they overdose, newsflash, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's okay for you to not want to be in a relationship with a specific
Straight
person.
Up.
And anybody who's like working under logic that like otherwise is just retarded.
Yeah, it's actually fucking crazy.
I said retarded. I probably shouldn't say that. You got a bunch of woke fans.
So, oh my, that woke culture is very insane even.
Do you feel that way? Are you right wing now? Are we going to see you in a little Donald Trump Make America Great Again fit?
I against it, yes. Not for it.
Oh,
fuck Donald Trump.
Oh, but, okay.
I'm like, just to clarify.
I want to see Tana Mojo in a fucking Make America Great Again hat. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, I love that for you, but I don't think we're going to, I don't think it's going to happen. No, I think I'm woke to an extent, but I feel like woke culture is insane. Like, I'm not that woke. I'm getting woker by the day. I'm learning, you know? I mean, even just think about, like, me years ago with, like, the N-word scandal and stuff. Like, the way I apologized for that then, I would apologize so differently now.
Right.
You know, it would be 2 minutes and, like, no, I fucked up and I'm an idiot and I'm sorry. Like,
but that is what's funny about this whole culture that we live in, is that, like, an 18-year-old white girl who just happens to be YouTube famous is expected to, like, really understand the dynamics of, like, racial politics in America.
It's nuts.
It's like...
Like the second, yeah. that's one thing that I would love to like shed a light on as well. Like the second you're given this platform and these followers, you're just expected to do everything perfectly and never make a mistake and know everything about yeah. everything. And it's just...
It's okay to be a kid. It's okay to fuck up.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean your life's over because yeah. you did something wrong. You
know? I think we all just kind of learned recently with everything, like the Laura Lee thing, everything. It's really just about the way you handle it once it happens.
That's
the
true.
The apology, the everything, just... Like, the best thing you can do in this woke culture is if you did something fucking wrong, like, own up to it and say sorry. I think that's where I'm at. Like, no matter what I do wrong from this point on, it's like, yo, I did that and I'm sorry if I did it, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not a bunch of, like, pandering and
but
excuses.
I think you also have to be really careful with what you apologize for, because mm-hmm. once you start seeding some ground and acknowledging that people are like, if you apologize for something that you're not actually sorry about, your apology card is officially tarnished for life.
Exactly.
You need to hold your apologies. Like, I actually yeah. did apologize for posting that picture of the Tess Holliday girl, whatever the fuck her name is, the morbidly obese woman that was on the cover of Cosmopolitan, because it really upset my girlfriend and her friends that I was joking around about it.
Yeah.
I actually had to apologize a little bit. even though my apology was essentially for not making a more nuanced comment, I haven't completely overturned my opinion of that.
But Len is so woke. Like on a side note, like I feel like it's awesome for you to have someone like that in your life. Len is very like culturally woke and not about like, you know, upsetting anyone, and that's awesome.
She's just a genuinely very nice person.
It's very, very, very true. It all comes from such a genuine place.
But I got her on those Jordan Peterson podcasts, so who knows what's going to happen to her.
I don't know who that is, but I'm excited for her. I love that for her. It's such a bland interview. He's not as woke. I'm sorry.
You know who Joe Rogan is, right?
Yes.
You want to hear a funny story?
But dude, smoke with Elon Musk right now.
You want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
So I wake up this morning to a text.
I'm a fan of you. I saw. Oh, wait.
No. Right. No. To a text from my friend. And he said that his friend was walking through the airport on acid. And he saw Joe Rogan. And he just said to him, like, bro, you know, I fuck with you, blah, blah, blah. You got to check out this podcast called No Jumper. And that Joe Rogan actually was interested enough that he was like, all right, I'm going to follow this guy on Twitter and DM him. So I woke up today to a DM from Joe Rogan.
That is so cool.
And Joe Rogan knew the kid was on acid as well, which is cool.
That's the coolest thing in the world. Like, that your fans, like, got you to fucking Joe Rogan in an airport today. Like, it's not even, like, you tweeting at him or talking about him or, like, trend this hashtag. Like,
right.
Someone just fucking
because I never wanted to, like, really go hard trying to get his attention because it's feel like someone like him is being drawn a million different ways.
That's so cool.
But you know, it's like I felt like that after TanaCon. I got the Casey Neistat follow.
Oh my god, I love Casey.
And it's like between Casey with the vlogging and then fucking Joe Rogan with the podcasting.
Yeah,
I couldn't really be acknowledged by anybody in either category that would really mean more to me because
that's awesome.
Casey's really kind of the reason I started vlogging and Joe Rogan's really the reason I started podcasting.
What do you do when you get that acknowledgement from your goats like that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll always be hard with the rapper thing. Like if I got acknowledged by Kanye, that would still be a big deal, you know?
I guess that's true because like you have a rap podcast, obviously. Yeah, that's nutty. That's really, really nuts. I love Casey. My favorite vlogger is David, though. I'm obsessed with fucking David Dobrik. I like the way he does everything is so cool to me. He can make like a wall funny. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's cool.
The possibility of me and David collabing is real now because I'm trying to get a porn star to have sex with Big Nick.
You could so do that.
Yes. And then I want to document it via podcast, get them together. Yes. But then I also want to get David involved.
To vlog it.
Because you know David's going to want to see what the fucking the porn star has to say about Big Nick's cack.
Oh, boy. I think you could just
have
a lot.
Have you seen it?
I have not. Praise Jesus.
Check it out.
Big Nick's dick? You've checked it out?
Yeah, I got some pics I'll send you.
Dead ass.
No.
Okay, good, because I hate that for all of us.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Love Big Nick.
I haven't seen it yet. Love
him. He's like a rapper now. You got to have him on.
He'd be rapping. He has a video on the channel with Lil Dadex.
No way. He has
Shout
a video.
Shout out Lil Dadex. Cut this out. Put it on your Instagram. What?
He has no... Like, how do you feel with that power just at all times? You could mention any SoundCloud rapper right now, and they would probably put it on your Instagram.
Really?
On their Instagram.
Who should I cloud up? You think this is a big cloud opportunity right now?
For them. I love that for them. Also for me. Also, I don't know.
I don't know nobody.
You just got to, like, start dropping random names of random SoundCloud rappers just so they repost it to their Instagram.
Just so you'll get that little moment.
Yeah, little moment. That's just a rapper.
No, but you can only pick people who are actually going to care. Because if I say, hey, check out Juice WRLD, Juice WRLD's never going to hear about it, and he's not going to care.
But he's, like, huge.
He's
like,
huge,
We got to go, like, who's, like, up and coming right now? Who's, like, small and up and coming? I don't know.
YBN Cordae.
Whoa, I feel like I heard a song, one of his,
They bully him, and they call him YBN Cordae.
That's mean.
Yeah, it's fucked up world out there.
They bully him and they...
And homophobic.
Well, yeah, that really fucking sucks for everything. That
it's
sucks.
A real huge bummer for the
Sending
LGBTQ...
Love and hugs to YBN Cordae.
Cordae, not Cordae. I just always get on him because I love the memes. No, because you want to know what it is? Is that he got hacked and some person just DM'd him and said Cordae. And then the hacker responded with a question mark. And that screenshot was so fucking funny.
Damn, that is really
to
funny,
the world. Like, just responding to, if your name is Cordae and someone goes to Cordae, and you respond with a question mark, that's funny.
That's actually really, really funny. Dude, I'd be getting hacked like 20 times a day.
Are you really?
I like, finally had to hire like a full-time anti-hacker. It's so weird.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Do you get hacked a lot? I feel like you do, right?
It's been a long time. Not going to
Really? Yeah. Dude, people like... Like, I get sent my own, like, iCloud security code, like, 20,000 times a day. Just, like, people fucking with me.
Whoa.
Like, it's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't like it. People hack like my Uber, my Lyft, Starbucks. Like weird ass shit. I'm like, you want to know what Frappuccino I got last?
Right.
Yeah.
No, it used to happen to me bad, but it's been a while.
Wow, I love that for you. No anti-hackers on the No Jumper team? What about Eli? You know him, right?
Yes, I have many anti-hackers. My hacking team is in full force. Please do not hack me.
Okay.
Because they will deal with you. I'm actually not scared of you hacking me.
Okay, and that's the
hackers.
Team. Love that for you. Love that for you.
You ever seen that movie, Hackers? I want to introduce that into your life. Actually, it probably came out when you were about, you were a fucking embryo when it came out.
Damn, I don't, who's in it? I don't think I've seen it. I've never seen like anyone's favorite movie though.
No, me neither. I'm not that, I'm not a movie guy.
Every Shane Dawson YouTube video. You I just seen grew up
Schindler's
on that.
List?
No.
No.
Was that your favorite movie?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie, but it's a, one of them? It's a very good movie.
Okay. My favorite movie is Gone Girl.
I am not a Nazi.
I don't know what it's about, so I'm not accusing you of anything.
You ever seen like New Jack City?
What?
New Jack City.
No.
Paid in Full.
That made me laugh. Like I feel
Boys
good.
In the Hood.
No.
Damn.
No.
That's no. The lit shit.
I've literally never seen like any movie. It's my worst trait.
Those three movies I just named though, if you go and learn about those movies, then a lot of other stuff in rap culture will make at least a little bit of sense referentially.
Wow. That's kind of a good idea.
I could give you actually. Oh, that's a great idea. Like Donald Trump, he went and created like Donald Trump University and like taught people shit.
Dude, Adam.
I started a hip-hop school.
Adam 22 University.
Imagine like a hip-hop curriculum.
Absolutely. Dude, Adam, where were we? Like Billboard or something. Someone said that's like Made in Tokyo and I think Modzen. And they were just like rap school, music school. Like let's teach us. It would actually be genius if you think about it. Like seminars from people in like the industry.
It would be good. Because like, that's the problem when you try to like hire people to like talk about rap on camera is that a lot of people like maybe they know about rap right now, but they don't know about any of the old shit. So yeah. They're a little limited, you know?
But that's, again, what makes you the coolest because you just know everything about everything.
Old fossil.
How does that make you feel knowing everything about everything?
I don't know damn anything. I feel like an idiot. I meet 10,000 people a day. I can't remember any of them. I feel like a moron.
Yeah, you probably, oh my God. The amount of people that would probably like pitch themselves to you too, like where do you have to shut that off and stop entertaining it and like whatever is crazy.
Oh yeah.
Like listen to my mixtape is probably like, I'm so sorry. Like that's nuts.
It comes with the territory.
It really does, and I love that for you. This interview is just me being sad and saying love that for you for fucking.
And me just talking about how great life is.
Yeah, and I love that for you.
Dating Lena the Plug.
Oh, she's literally the best.
Do you think that's a W?
It's oh my God. I think about it a lot, Adam.
Like, really? How cute we are together?
Yes, how cute you guys are together. Like how you both just compliment each other so well. Oh. It's insane. Even at the porn awards, I was just like, go off. Like for you to be like up there on stage with her, like, yes, get it. Like
that was weird. I didn't know if I should get on stage or not.
I'm so glad you did. It was everything to me. It was everything and more. It was everything I needed.
That was fun. I didn't know what the fuck to do up there. I just started talking to one of the girls to announce the award. I was like, how you doing? She's dude. Looking at me like you should probably be over there.
The Yeezy dresses with the tits out was nuts.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
For sure, it was fucking crazy.
It was so cool that some of the girls, for the people who don't know, they had like Yeezy dresses on where just no boobs, just like, a boob hole,
just boobs, yeah, but like a full ass like prom dress.
And
type
one
shit
girl had a straight up like vagina hole, and then
oh, I didn't even see that.
There was another girl, Honey Gold, who I didn't really know about prior to last night or prior to Pornhub Awards, and she was butt naked, and she said that was Kanye's instruction was for her to remain butt naked the entire time.
So do you think that means out of all those girls, Kanye was like your body? Like, you know what I mean?
It's
like
whatever he was feeling, I guess. Yeah.
It's just nutty. I feel like did all of those girls get to talk to Kanye personally and like that kind of stuff? Like, did he like personally like hand select everything for them?
That's I'm not sure. The backstage area that I was in was not the same backstage area that Kanye was in. But you want to know what I heard that was really funny?
What?
I heard that when Lena won, because she was competing against Kim Kardashian, his wife, that he went out of his way to applaud really, really hard. Probably as a tactical measure so that people, you know, because he's so used to having his opinions like misconstrued that he's
100%.
He's probably thinking like, I don't want them to think that I'm mad. That
like,
my,
look,
my
media,
girl.
I'm happy for this girl that isn't my wife. I promise. Like,
but
I
heard there was an extremely enthusiastic applause by Kanye, which I really appreciate, even though I did not see it myself.
That's so awesome. If you think about it, like your girlfriend is celebrity of the year and Kanye West like applauded her.
She beat your ass.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You were the only other person that was actually there that was nominated.
I had no idea. I wish I would have known. I probably would have like fought for it.
Really? You would have told your fans to search?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It's hard because I love Lena so much that I like wanted to be her date. I wanted her to win. But against anyone else, I'm like, let's go.
I thought it was great for Lena because I mean I don't really see her as like a competitor so much.
Yeah, that's very true. She just like was like, I want this for me.
I don't feel like there's probably any other awards in her life that she's going to necessarily get out there and go for.
Yeah.
Like most people, like even myself, I don't really, I'm not trying to pursue any awards.
Yeah.
So that one kind of fell right into her lap, and it was, it was just a nice,
so well deserved.
A nice way to sort of top off what really has been a hectic couple of years for Lil Lena, just in the sense that she's very, very sensitive, and she, you know, people, you know, you know what it's like to be talked about publicly.
Yeah, 100%. It's that's hard too. Knowing that anyone ever talks about Lena in any negative light, like I think she's perfect.
Yeah,
like,
she's just a sweetheart.
The way that she goes about everything is so perfect. She's the most like sensitive, caring, like open, like body positive, just everything. Feminist.
Makes me eggs in the morning.
Like, and that's, she's just huge. A wife. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, fucking tops you up. And, like, that one photo of you guys where it's that girl sucking your dick and she's, like, behind you. Like I'm just like, why is this, like, modern day, like, Romeo and Juliet?
That was a fun night.
Oh, yeah. I love that for you.
That was, last night was pretty much like that, too, to be honest.
What did you do last night?
Lena brought a couple girls over after that little party we had here.
You had a party here last night.
Yeah, for Death by Romy, and Cuban Doll was here as well performing.
Whoa. Oh, I saw that actually.
Cuban Doll, very fire.
Yeah, Cuban Doll's awesome.
Very cool person.
She's not the one who, or is she the one that toured with Bad Baby?
No, that's Asian Doll.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Cuban Doll, for the record, is also known as Cuban Da Savage.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I've seen her as that as well.
I think she wanted to sort of get away from the whole doll thing. There's a lot of dolls. Cash Doll.
Whoa.
A lot of girls.
I know nothing.
Adding doll as a rapper is kind of like the girl version of Lil or Young.
Yeah, that's actually very, very true.
Tana I don't know doll. Where that came from.
Catch me. That's ugly. Tana
Catch
Doll.
Catch me out, doll.
Catch me out, doll.
Tana Mon Doll.
Yeah, 100%. Hi. What a podcast this one is. Yeah. The difference in this and our first one.
It was very serious, very somber note. I kicked everybody out of the room so we could be all alone.
Yeah, 100%. I literally was just like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. I knew they would like...
You held it together there.
Yeah, I just didn't want anyone to like, you know, tell me I'm...
Don't show any weakness.
It's nuts.
If life has taught me anything, it's that. Just keep a stone cold poker face. Never let anybody know that you sweat.
Do you mean that?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, because I'll take that advice to the fucking grave. I need it right now.
No, I had a good cry a couple months ago, and I was very, very quick to talk about it on social media and everything.
Really?
Or even after like the X thing, I felt like that was probably the first, or maybe the peep thing. I felt like that was maybe the first time that I'd ever let myself be on camera like teared up.
Really? Yeah. What did you, so you're saying the first thing you cried over was the X thing?
Not the first thing, but Jesus Christ, that was, and the peep thing too. It was just like, that was just, I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, because like when peep died, I didn't really make any content about peep or anything because I just didn't feel right about it. When X died, I did use his name for like the jam, like the thing, memorial thing where we shut down the fucking street outside. But I've always just had very, very like torn feelings about using any of my friends' names for clickbait when they die, you know?
Dude, it's very interesting perspective because that's where I'm at right now. Like, I feel like everyone wants this like crazy explanation from me and all these questions answered. And old me, YouTube me, I was texting you about it today, like, would just sit down and make a video, but are people, even if it's demonetized and even if his name isn't in the title and whatever, am I going to be accused of like profiting off of it or trying to? I'm in that, definitely in that rock and hard place right now.
That is a really good idea. That's why you came here and let me profit off of it.
Yeah, okay.
I appreciate that, by the way.
I love that.
Not
for
that
you.
Specifically, but the whole conversation as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought, I felt like it would be more, for me, where like why I feel like it'd be more credible.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not going to let me come on and like pander or like lie, or you're going to ask me the questions that I might not want to answer.
Right, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, that's really actually what I want, because I love having those just real conversations. And actually, we're not doing this one live, but that's what I've been doing a lot, is keeping the chat up there, because they will tell me everything that...
That's actually very true. We should do that at some point, though.
Yeah,
I
we'll
think.
Do it.
Because when you lose credibility, you lose everything. And I feel like with TanaCon, like, Shane was able to bring that back for me, and now I'm in a place where, not all the way, but I'm saying like, save me in a sense. And I think now I'm in a place where I have to be very careful and be very credible, because if I'm lying about anything or I'm fronting, it's game over, you know? Like, I don't want to lose my credibility.
Yeah, to be real, like, you are being held to a different standard now, but I think it's good, because I think you're capable of it in terms of just like what people want of your content. You need to like, I think you have what it takes to be like a forward-thinking YouTube creator, and to like really like follow in the footsteps of somebody like Shane, who's like really going above and beyond and making great stuff. And I feel like that is what I would recommend for sure, is to just double down on the audience that you do have and just make the illest shit possible.
Exactly. Like, that's, I just want to get back to content and being as raw and real as I can be, because I know if I go any other way, like, it's fucked, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's, in my opinion, at least.
No,
like,
totally.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. But I appreciate you even giving me the space to kind of clarify how I felt about Mac and like all of that kind of shit. Because I do think coming from sitting right here with you is 10 times more credible than any thing I could do.
Well, I appreciate that. But I mean, I just see, like, I've seen it over and over and over, not with Mac because I didn't know him personally, but like just the way that people talk about rappers in particular when they die, and the way that people smear their fucking friends and like the girls in their lives and everything like that. Like, there's just so much toxic stuff that comes out of those situations. And I saw it over and over and over. Like, the X thing was particularly terrible. The Peep thing, there was a lot of really bad examples of just people just, you know, smearing his name and just like his friends like fighting with each other and saying awful things to each other. And it's like, it's actually really weird to me because throughout, I've had a lot of friends die who were like hood rappers basically.
Yeah.
And I just have not seen that level of like disrespect and like terrible, like things kind of come from it because a lot of these people are fucking used to dealing with death in their community. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff with these sort of more like, you know, SoundCloud rappers or whatever. Yeah. It's just like, you see people who have no fucking clue what's right or wrong to put out on the internet during those times.
100%. 100%. And I don't know when I won't be like angry about that too. Mm. You know what I mean? I just still like opening up my phone, seeing anything just misconstrued about him or posts of people like pretending to care or whatever. Mm. And I get that people are mad at me and stuff, but it still just makes me so angry, you know?
And you could just sit back and just ignore all the hate and just let it all out, turn your Instagram comments off, whatever. But it's like, man, it sucks to shut yourself off from the world, you know?
Yeah, and I think in this situation, like, right now we're in such a social media, like, space where, like, running from anything does nothing.
Right.
Like, and then if you try to come back and address it months later, people are just angrier, you know? And that's where it's hard. Like, and you're so right, too, about people just normalizing death. And I just don't like it. Like, even just like my first big introduction to that was like Diego having like a bunch of tattoos for so many dead friends and me being like, wow, like that's so normal to you, you know? Like, I've only ever had one person like die in my life. And now for it to be like two, like as you get older, like it's just not normal to me.
Right.
Like, you know, and just like, I don't want it to be a normal thing. And I think that our generation is like making it like that.
Oh, the thing about what I listen to my parents when they're reading the newspaper and they're like, oh, Sally from the library died. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. It's just, it's nothing because they've seen so much of it. And that's my old ass white parents.
Yeah, 100. You're so right. Like, to older people, like their friends dying and all that kind of stuff is so normal.
But to them, they're the weird exception that's still alive at 67 or whatever, you know?
But for us to be in our 20s and 30s and shit, and people in their 20s and 30s that we know, like being here one day and dead the next, like just shouldn't be normal, and it sucks.
So many of the people like in hip hop or whatever in entertainment, like, are just, they're out there in terms of like drug use, they're out there in terms of violence, or being prone to having people be violent towards them in some cases, you know? It's just a lot of dangerous shit in our culture for anyone who's like, you know, at that level or living
100%.
Like that,
it's all like at your fingertips and shit. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Kids, stay off drugs.
100%.
Facts.
100%.
I appreciate you coming and doing this.
Yo, no, I fucking appreciate you having me. I'm excited to do something fun with you eventually.
Mini golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I hope I suck Shane Dawson's dick good enough that he'll give me another interview in this.
This space?
Yeah, I want to get a redo. We're going to have a no Fousey zone, no Fousey's invading.
Oh my God, Fousey. Dude, that was nutty. Like, after TanaCon, watching that happen.
At least he took the fucking attention off you.
I agree. I love that. I appreciate him for that, you know?
It was like TanaCon all over
again. I just wonder if TanaCon would have never happened if Fousey would have, like, done anything. Like, how he would have thought. I wonder if the whole space would be looked at. Who would have been the first person to have a convention? Or, like,
I don't think Fousey would have been able to bring that many people together. I think, if anything, the reason why he flipped out was because of the fact that he went to Australia on tour and had, like, 300 people come to a show.
Yeah.
And, like, a few years before, he had, like, 3,000. And he just kind of lost his mind realizing that it was kind of not happening anymore.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't even know that. I know nothing about that situation. Like, I'm just talking to you openly.
You didn't watch
the
Keemstar documentary about it?
I did, but it didn't make a lot of, like, sense to me because I didn't know a lot about Fousey Tube or that world. Like, you know what I mean? And it was right after TanaCon, so I was just watching, like, you know, like, just wondering what they were saying.
Why don't you go get yourself some of that Fousey dick?
I'm so cool off that. I think I'm going to get Jesus's dick for a while.
Jeezy's?
Jesus is. Oh. Holy fuck.
Same thing.
That's so funny. No.
I didn't really think you said I just thought it sounded like you said
And it's funny, and I get that. No, I think I just need to be really cool in the public eye for a second and not kiss anyone.
What could be cooler than
wild.
Fucking Jeezy?
A lot.
Shout out Jeezy.
I don't think Jeezy likes me. I don't think he's a...
Really?
I don't think he's a spray tan.
Not yet.
No, yeah.
It's coming.
No, I don't think ever.
Jeezy. Yeah. Jeezy, holler at my girl.
No, Jeezy, just stay with Halsey.
You know? Jeezy, you murked MGK.
Hug MGK.
Oh, you're MGK gang.
Wow, okay.
You are, because you must know him. He's in that whole little scene.
I mean, yeah, MGK's been nicer to me than Jeezy has been. In
who
this
you
life.
Don't know? Or was he actually rude to you?
What do you mean?
Jeezy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a story time about Jeezy a while ago.
Oh, okay.
He like had me kicked out of a club once. It was kind of interesting for sure.
Wow, I got to Google that one.
Yeah, I love that.
Cliffhanger.
Everyone involved, you know, just nutty.
Or are you an Eminem guy?
I do. All I want to say on that, I guess, I think MGK's diss track to Eminem was really good.
Mm.
Like, I liked it. I don't know. I think most people would be really scared to be in that position, too. And I think he's like handling it well publicly, which is really cool. But I also don't know much about his beef with Eminem and, like, that world. So I feel like my stance is very uneducated, but...
I will say that new Eminem album was fire.
I need to listen to it more. I know he, like, dissed a bunch of the SoundCloud rappers. I just heard another song.
He did, and he rapped over a fucking fake-ass Take Heath beat. Like, it sounds like a Block Boy JB song. Oh, actually, I like, think maybe it is by Take
Heath. So who made the beat?
I forget. I gotta look into that.
Didn't fucking Ronnie J make the beat for MGK's diss track and also an Eminem song? And that was like the big controversy as well. Also, like, that's awesome for Ronnie.
Shout out Ronnie J.
Yeah. Get to the bag.
Like, get to the bag. Get to the white rapper bag. That's my advice.
I love that for Ronnie.
Ronnie J, rip these honkies off. Take it from us.
That's so nuts.
The face of hip hop.
Oh, right totally, here. Totally. Oh my God. I'm so sorry I tried to be a rapper.
Oh, you're Thank over you. It?
I think for now.
Now might not be the time.
Yeah, I think that singing's a little more fun.
Yeah.
And cool and fresh, you know?
I feel that.
Yeah. Rapping me was just not.
All right. Can we do a big hug before we turn the camera off just so that people know that what a hug between us looks like?
Whoa. Yeah. Have we ever like hugged?
I don't know. We're going to do a sitting down or are we going to stand up?
What should we do?
To me, a hug is better standing up. So fuck where the camera's pointed.
Watch me just literally start like bawling.
Aww. This might take a while.
I love you. Whoa. I can like hear again. I love you. I love you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Dude, thank you. No Jumper. World for having me.
Love you, Tana.
To me.
Love you, Rope Gang. NoJumper.com.
Sorry, Rope Gang.
Bang.